Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
UCR.
One?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hello, everybody, and oh boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We are Uncensored Radio, and you know we are your guiltiest pleasure. Tonight, Jeffrey Emmett is in the house. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm fantastic. Excited for all the people that are getting to talk to their hero.
I agree. Katrina Johnson has a coffee cough. She's on the line, too. How are you, Kat?
Hello. Yes, I think it's the universe protecting our special guest. And that is why I'm losing my voice.
Right. And James is our producer. He is greeting the calls tonight. James, I know you're excited about this one.
I am. I am very excited.
Well, you know what? I'm very excited as well. And we're not going to waste any more time because I know we've got a million people in the chat room. We've got a million people waiting to call in and ask questions. David Yost is on the show tonight. David, how are you, my friend?
Karen. And everyone else, thank you so much for having me, and I'm doing
well. You're very welcome.
You said you have a million people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people wanting to talk to you. And for those who, like, barely crawled out from under a rock, you guys know David Yost. He played Billy on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He's a really great friend of mine, and I'm very happy you're here.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here and support you.
Thank you. Thank you. David and I are really good friends, and I've had the pleasure of working with him since Power Rangers on other projects, and he's just a great guy, so I'm glad that everyone gets to talk to him today and meet the real you, you know, get a chance to meet you. What would you say is something that about you that's different from your character, Billy? Because I think sometimes fans think that we're one and the same. What is one thing that's different about you than he was?
I think the most noticeable thing would be that he was, super, super intelligent, and I am not intelligent in the way that Billy was intelligent as far as books go and getting good grades. Is that Katrina laughing at me?
Yes, because I see you in action, and I know better. I know you're very intelligent, especially as a producer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice of you. But, I mean, I'm not an inventor. I don't understand science on any level. And Billy was very scientific and always making inventions. And, you know, he was light years ahead of most people. So, I was just a very average student in school and all that kind of stuff. So that would be the major difference. It was fun to play an intelligent person.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. Yeah, because he was pretty smart. Like, we'd have a problem, and Billy invented the solution, like, right on the spot. It was kind of great.
But that one of the things you hated the most about it? Because I noticed throughout the show, since Karen's been on with us, I've gone back and, like, watched it on Netflix. The glasses just seem to disappear. And the overalls, and all of a sudden you've got, like, buff shirts on, and what was all that? What happened there?
I did hate the overalls. I just thought, you know, I spent my first season, which was 40 episodes, in overalls, and I just really couldn't handle it wearing them for another day. So I did push to move Billy into different types of wardrobe. And the glasses, honestly, I don't mind wearing glasses. I still wear glasses to read at night and things like that. But the glasses that I wore on the show had fake lenses in them, and they hadn't really perfected the craft of making the lenses correct for lighting and stuff like that for the camera, so it didn't glare in the camera. So the lenses I had like a – they would spray dulling spray on it. So I was never really seeing clear, and I noticed that my – eyesight started to change and things like that. So it just became more of a thing where I just was getting frustrated in my personal life with my eyesight changing because of the glasses that I was wearing at work. So I just, you know, got rid of them when we went into the movie, and Billy got contact.
I love it. Yeah, because to me, I was like, you know, Billy's so smart, he would have, been, you know, invented something to fix his eyesight. But, you know,
Yeah, I did too.
What were you going to say? He probably was.
I was just going to say he probably invented LASIK surgery, that's all.
Exactly. Billy would have invented that. I agree. So I never asked you this question, but I always wondered, what was your audition process like? Because, you know, you're part of the original cast. Like, you guys, when once we came on, the show was a hit. What was that like when you first auditioned?
It was really intense and exciting. I think, like I've mentioned to some people, but maybe some people in your audience don't know this yet, but I originally started auditioning for the part of the Red Ranger for Jason. So I had my first three auditions were all for that role because I fit sort of the description that they were looking for at that time. They were looking for somebody that looked like Jason Priestley and kind of had that look, and that's sort of what I looked like at that time. And so my first three auditions were for Jason the Red Ranger, but then something inside me was saying, you know, you're probably not going to get this role. So I asked the casting director, well, would I be able to read for Billy as well? And she said yes. And so then I started auditioning for Billy and Jason at the same time, and then eventually they just said, okay, we're going to call you back, but we're only calling you back for Billy. And, you know, it just kind of progressed from there. And I had a total of 8 callbacks in total.
What?
Until I got the role of Billy. So it was really on, you know, it was a crazy, it was like over the course of a month, maybe a little bit more of a month period. And it was just really intense. And, you know, every day would bring something new, or every week would bring something new. And you would be wondering if I'm going to get the job, and having to make up excuses at my other job, you know, calling in sick or just not showing up so I could audition for this role.
What were you doing then? I've never heard this story.
I worked as a room service waiter at a really expensive hotel on Sunset Boulevard. So, you know, I was like, Whoopi Goldberg lived in the hotel, and that's the time that she was dating Ted Danson, and Pierce Brosnan would stay there. River Phoenix, before he passed away, was staying there. It was like amazing, the people that would come through there. So it was a really great job, but obviously I wanted to be in the same position that all those actors were in.
There you go.
Yep.
That's awesome. Wow. Another
thing, Whoopi didn't get her french fries, but we all got a new childhood hero. I think it worked out.
Exactly. Speaking of childhood heroes, I actually have a question from one of the fans. Let me make sure I get this person's name right. Gary Bingaman asked, who were your heroes growing up?
I grew up in the era of the original Star Wars, and so, I mean, I was all about that stuff, but I really identified with Darth Vader. Like, I just thought he was like the most amazing thing.
What?
That makes the most sense.
I thought I was going to get a Princess Leia. Did not see that coming.
So I don't know what that says about me personally, because I'm on the dark side, but I did love that. And then, God, what was the other show? There was a show on TV, Battlestar Galactica. Like, I loved that show as well. So,
okay.
But, you know, I would say Darth Vader was like my biggest inspiration growing up.
I love it. Well, it just tells me that you like to be in control. Like, he was willing to do whatever to control everything.
Oh my God, we're going to get into psychological analysis.
Interesting.
You know, lay on my couch, David, so I can psychoanalyze you.
Yeah.
Trust me, all of them, Katrina, Jeff, they've all been psychoanalyzed by me.
She's horrible.
That's right.
She's a monster.
She's a monster.
She really is.
I'm Darth Vader, too. I think I like Darth Vader also.
Good.
There
we're
you
on
go.
The same team.
Exactly. So how did you parlay? Obviously, you were acting. You did this huge show. Then you decided to go into producing. How did you shift gears and go into producing as opposed to, you know, pounding the pavement? I know you were still, you know, getting other acting roles, but it seemed like producing became your love at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a combination out of necessity to pay bills and also just, like, being interested in that aspect of the entertainment industry. I just remember watching Jonathan, one of our producers on Power Rangers. You know, I just was always fascinated by his job, and I loved his work ethic and his moral standard, and I based a lot of, you know, my stuff as a producer on him and his philosophy of how he did things. I just thought he always ran an amazing ship. And,
right.
You know, so when I came back from Mexico after having my nervous breakdown, I wasn't really sure about really acting 100%. I mean, I still wanted to be an actor, but I just thought, well, I'll start working towards being a producer too, because then maybe eventually I'll produce my own stuff. And, you know, I had to start off like everybody else. I became a PA, and I got people coffee and took out the trash and cleaned the toilets and all that kind of stuff. But luckily, my smart helped me move up pretty quickly. And, you know, I didn't have to hang out there too long doing that kind of stuff. But then I just started working on documentaries and then on reality TV shows and just kept going from there.
Right.
But
and see, that's the thing,
question.
People don't know. Yeah, no, people don't know. Like, you worked on several known shows. Can you, you want to list some of those? Because they don't even realize that you've been in the mix for a long time. You know, I think they get confused because you're not acting, but you've, like, you're producing major shows. You're part of major production companies.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked on a lot of trashy, so to speak,
my favorite. Right.
But I'm not always. I mean, I love obviously the production companies that I work for, and I support everything that they do. But you know, just like it's not always the thing that you really want to be working on. I mean, a lot of times it's just for a paycheck. But yes, I've worked on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The first reality, big reality show that I did was Temptation Island way back in the day. You know, so. there's been like a slew of other stuff, movies of the week that have aired on Fox and on Lifetime, and I have like 3 shows that are on Cartoon Network now that are live action shows that I'm really proud of, and I think they're funny, and the people that we get to guest star on the shows are just like some of the hottest comics and comedians in Hollywood right now. So it's just fun to come to set and work with so many talented people that really kind of inspire you and at least make you laugh at the end of the day.
Right.
Well, if you're looking for 2 women, I've got 2 right here that, you know, for a small fee, I could hook you up with.
You're pimping them out, huh? You're there.
Absolutely. How do you think she's going to, where? What is it? Where are we going? Lexicon? I'm like, we're going. Yeah.
He's like signing me up for many, many conventions this year. And I was like, what are we doing? I already arranged it. I've negotiated your rate. I'm like, oh my god.
Well, I'll be at Lexington Comic Con too, so I'll be happy to see you there.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great.
We all have to go get into trouble.
Okay.
David, you gonna get into trouble with us?
I'll do my best.
How much trouble could we possibly get into in Lexington, Kentucky?
Have you met Katrina?
I got a new purse that holds a full wine bottle, so plenty of
okay, change my mind. We can get into a lot of trouble.
You what?
Miss Girl, no.
Go ahead.
I just want to dial back for a second because you mentioned you had a little breakdown. And I know, you know, I think everybody at this point kind of knows you went through the ringer a little bit in your personal life. And I kind of want to know, like, what was that like for you at that time? And how did you get through it? Because I think there's a lot of kids out there who are going through it now that they look up to. And, you know, you were their superhero. And to know that you went through the same thing, I think, speaks a lot to them.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I don't even know where to begin with this. It was really difficult for me to be a gay person and to grow up as a religious person, and just sort of my whole battle with myself was being gay and also being in the right side of God, as people say. And so that was...
Were you Catholic?
Not Catholic, but I grew up very similar to Mormonism. I grew up in a church called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Very good people, very liberal people, but you still hear the things in the Bible that people think that it says and, you know,
right.
All that kind of stuff. But I also grew up in states like Montana, in Colorado, in Iowa. And, you know, I can remember being in middle school. It was either 8th or 9th grade. I can't remember specifically. And this is when Rock Hudson, who was a famous actor back in the 50s and 60s, contracted the AIDS virus and died of AIDS.
Right.
And this is like the first time that we're sort of hearing about AIDS. But I can remember being in Montana, and I remember being in PE class, and I remember people really talking about gay people that day because of Rock Hudson and how bad it was, and see, this is what happened, and those, I don't know what type of language I'm allowed to use on your show, so I'll refrain from
using that. You can use any language. We're uncensored.
I'll use the word fag, you know, like they were using that word, and I can just remember, like, just realizing that I was like Rock Hudson, and, you know, here I am in Montana, and I just, there wasn't really anybody that I knew of that was like me, and so I can just remember really struggling and really, you know, hating myself at that point, because you know you're like this and you hear everybody saying all these bad things about you and you're not really sure what to do about it, or and you question yourself, well, why am I like this?
So, well, how old were you when you realized? Because I was like you. I went to Catholic school my whole life. I didn't know any gay people. I didn't even know what it was. So when did you realize what was going on?
I knew that I was attracted to other guys or boys, whatever, since the time I was 3. Like, I have a very distinct memory at 3 years old of being attracted to my neighborhood, my neighbor boy. My neighbor.
Hey.
Whatever. And,
so the whole neighborhood, so, you know, very nice. Me too.
Yeah. I always knew, but I thought it was something that would go away, or that I could definitely pray away, or that I didn't have to acknowledge. It was something that I just tried to shut off and stay away from. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way.
No.
Right.
So, anyways, getting back to my breakdown. So, you know, just for me, the struggle was always like, I don't know. I just kept continuing to hear that I was bad and that I was wrong and this, that, and the other. And I thought, well, once I get out of middle school, it'll be different in high school. And I thought, well, once I get out of high school, it'll be different. I'll be in college. And then I still heard the same shit in college. And so then I was like, okay, well, once I get out of college and I get into the real world, I won't have to listen to any of this stuff. And then you get into the real world and people are still calling you a fag and people are still making fun of you and, you know, still making you feel bad about yourself. And you have all these preachers on TV like Joel Osteen or Pat Robertson spewing their crap about it's not right in the eyes of God and hate the sin, but whatever they say.
Yeah.
Right.
Hate the sin, but love the sinner kind of thing, whatever it is. So, you know, you keep hearing that, and eventually it adds up, and it, for me, I did everything in my power to have what we consider to be God to change me, and unfortunately it didn't work, and it just led me to have a nervous breakdown, and it was a really scary, traumatic experience to feel like you're losing your mind and to sort of be on the fence. Like, I really do understand what it's like sometimes when you see homeless people and they're kind of speaking to imaginary people. Yeah, I was kind of on that fence. Like, I understood, like, if I kept going, I could probably potentially literally lose my mind.
Right.
And so, luckily, I got help when I needed help. And, you know, I did try to kill myself. I thought about it quite often. It was something that I struggled with for a long time. And, you know, I know, unfortunately, that other people still struggle with that, and that's why I get so very upset with religious leaders and even people within our own government that still continue to bash gay people because they don't realize that, you know, it just takes that little comment, and that little comment could throw somebody off a bridge, could cause them to shoot themselves in the head. You know, it could do a lot of damage. So, you know, I hope people hear what I've been through and that they know that there is hope and that there is opportunity. Unfortunately, like a guy I knew, he was a photographer here in Hollywood who was gay, and he struggled with depression and alcoholism, but also with being gay. And he recently committed suicide just a few days before Christmas. So even after, you know, it's just not adolescence. It's people that go into their adulthood. You know, we think we're done with the darkness, and unfortunately it still might be there. So anything I can do to help alleviate that for people, I hope they hear my story and that I can help guide them maybe in some direction.
Right. So obviously you mentioned you got help. For someone who's feeling that way or is on that edge, you know, what was it? What was the turning point for you to where you said, you know, was it therapy? Was it family? Was there a moment that changed things for you?
Well, I can just remember I was just driving down the street one day, and I just, you know, I just thought, I really felt myself losing my mind. I was in Los Angeles, and I just, you know, I just said, God, I'm sorry. It was the whole me trying to pray the gay away stuff. You know, I just really thought this is going to happen. And I just was coming to the realization this isn't going to change. And I just said, Lord, I can't do this anymore, and I just need to get help. And so I drove myself to Cedars-Sinai emergency room and spent some time there. But I decided it would be more important for me to go home and spend time with go to a hospital that's closer to my family. So I left the hospital and I jumped on a plane and went to the hospital. The turning point just was like I just couldn't take it anymore. I was tired of hating myself. I was tired of being depressed. I was tired of letting other people dictate who I need to be.
Good for you.
And so, you know, it was just kind of that kind of thing. But it wasn't like this magical moment. It was like, I mean, I had months and years of trying to get myself back to what I think is a normal level of functioning in the world. It wasn't, you know, this whole gay reparative therapy is extremely damaging. And I don't care what anybody says or what kind of stuff that they put out there as far as scientific evidence on one side. It is extremely damaging to your mental psyche. And anybody that says differently is fooling themselves. And I think we're pretty clear now that it doesn't work. I just, you know, if people out there are involved in that, I just really want them to know that they are 100% perfect the way that they are. And people telling you differently is completely bogus. And I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry that these types of things exist because they create a lot of damage. As a gay person, sometimes you're already damaged as it is because, like I said, when you're growing up, you hear all these bad things. So you automatically think you're bad, and then you think you're getting help, but the help that you think you're getting, they're continuing to tell you you're bad. They're not helping you accept yourself. So it's, I don't know, it's a vicious circle.
Right.
And it's a very dark, dark circle.
Wow. Thank you for being so honest. You know, it definitely is a sign of strength in my mind, in my heart, when I hear someone being so honest about a very vulnerable time, because you obviously,
absolutely.
I mean, we saw, I've known you for so long, but when we saw you at Morphicon, I mean, it was obvious the love the fans have for you. I mean, there was an auditorium filled from the front to the back for David. Like, it was amazing to watch. So for you to be so honest is such a beautiful thing, because I don't even know if you know the magnitude of what your words and your experience is doing for other people. I know you as a personal friend, so I love you. But like them, I know that they hold on sometimes to every word we say, and that's, it's such a beautiful thing for you to be so honest about everything.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a caller. I want to take, no problem. We have a caller. Her name is Ophelia. Hi, Ophelia. She's calling from Singapore.
Wow.
Hello. Hi. I just want to say that I've been a fan. The last time when Mighty Morphin Power Ranger was on, I was a teenager, and now I'm over 30 years old. But I've never forgotten Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and I've been waiting for each individual's actors, like whether what project they are on, and I try to watch them. And now Amy Jo Johnson is at the Fresh Point, so I'm quite happy to see that some of them have advanced in their career, and I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, did you have a question for David?
No, I just want to call and say that I've been a fan, I've always been a fan, and that's all I want to say.
Thank you so much.
Power Rangers, and I might have a little surprise for everybody towards the end of the show regarding Amy Jo Johnson.
Ooh, we're interested.
Wow. Oh, how are you going to steal my thunder? Okay, me and you, we're going to have words at Kentucky, homeboy.
Just show him a bottle of wine, David, and he'll forget what he was going to say. One of the people in the chat room, they had asked earlier in the week, they said, if you were able to write, produce, and direct an episode of Power Rangers, what would it be about?
Well, I did, when I was on Power Rangers, I did, here's my dark side, I did write an episode. I found it the other day, and I was reading it, and it was an episode about Billy, of course, because maybe I was narcissistic at that time.
Hey,
and
you gotta get the camera time.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, it was like sort of giving Billy's backstory about his mother and how Billy never had a mother. She was never established on the show. She had, in my mind, she had died of cancer when she was 7 years old. I mean, when he was 7 years old, which I thought might be, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there who have lost their parents, so I thought it might be something that would be relevant to some kids. And so I wrote this episode about how Billy's mom had passed away of cancer, and I don't remember if it's Lord Zedd or Rita Repulsa creates a monster that's called the Transformation Monster. And this monster can transform into anything it wants, and it transforms into Billy's mother and appeared before Billy. And talking to Billy and really, you know, kind of messed with Billy's head. And so Billy kind of lost himself a little bit, and he decides he's going to go off on his own, and he's going to take care of Lord Zedd for once and for all. So he manages somehow to transport himself into Zedd's chamber, and and then the rest of the team has to kind of come and help get Billy out, because once you're in Lord Zedd's chamber, you can't teleport out. So it was like having to figure this way to get out and all this kind of stuff. So it was a really dark. I think I presented this to one of the.
You're dealing with some demons.
I think I did send it to. I gave it to one of the producers on the show, and they were just like, I don't know that that's, you know, it's a good episode, but I don't know that it's really right for kids' television. So,
you know what, though? I bet you anything they would have done it now. Like, in today's time, it wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, probably. I was rereading it the other day, and I really liked it. I was like, wow, this is pretty good. Again, being narcissistic, as I am. Thinking like a writer. But,
I love it.
Yeah. So that would probably be the episode. I mean, I thought it was fun and exciting and scary and everything at the same time.
Yeah. I love that. I like that kind of an episode. Well, you know, let's take some more callers because they've been waiting for quite a while. This person's actually been waiting the entire show. Hey, caller, what is your name and where are you calling from? Hi.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Eric.
Hi, Eric. Do you have a question for David?
I do. I was wondering, I know your schedule is kind of hectic and whatnot, but is there ever a chance that you might visit Indiana and maybe do a meet and greet in Indy or Bloomington?
I don't have anything scheduled along those lines right now. I know I am going to be speaking, this is a whole different state, in Illinois. At the University of Illinois. But I'm trying to think,
if I had anything in – I mean, nothing is scheduled in Indiana right now. There's always possibly opportunities for me to make my way out that way. But, you know, I don't know how far you're willing to travel to go to different cons that might be a few hours away from you. That might be the best way. I'll try to post on my Facebook page or on Twitter, like, all the different cons that I'll be attending this year, and then maybe you'd be able to find one that might be close to you.
Awesome. We did get another question a few days ago where a fan was asking if you liked getting fan mail, or have you kind of stepped away from it, and if you do like getting fan mail, where can they send stuff? So that they can, like, write you and maybe request autographs and those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, I love fan mail. I get fan mail all the time. I mean, what a lot of people do now is just direct message me on or private message me on Facebook, and I will answer you. Sometimes it'll be immediate. Sometimes it might not be for 1 or 2 months. I apologize.
so, not that I would know anything about that.
I'm not trying to avoid people. It's just there's times where I sit down because, you know, I'll read them, but then to really go back and answer them, it's like you really have to sit down and be prepared, and because I answer, like, a lot all at once.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
that's why sometimes it takes me a little while.
Yeah, and I was going to say, David is a busy man. Like, we'll say, okay, let's have lunch. And, I mean, it'll be like 3 weeks later, we finally coordinate schedules and we're able to do it. And it's just like, okay, we got an hour, we got a two-hour window. And it's just, it's so busy, especially, you know, working in the industry. We've got another caller. She's actually someone who is one of our favorites. Hey, Bree, how are you?
Hello. My question for David is, okay, I have hydrocephalus, and so I have always wanted to learn how to do flips and stuff, and so I figured I'd ask you this question since you're in get gymnastics and stuff. And so would it be best for a person who wants to learn how to do flips and stuff, like if they have stuff that has to do with, like, head injury and stuff, would it be best if they use a helmet?
I would say absolutely 100% yes.
Yeah.
And depending on how you decide to learn how to do flips, I mean, probably the best way now would be to find a gym that has a trampoline, and along with the trampoline, they strap you in, and then you sort of learn how to flip that way. I would say that's probably the safest way.
Right.
But when I was growing up doing gymnastics, we didn't really have any of that, and there were plenty of times where I hit my head. So I would hate for you to hit your head, you know, if it's going to cause you further injury or stuff like that. Always protect yourself, always.
Yeah, and also, Bree,
consult
your doctor.
Yeah. Ask your doctor, baby.
We need Bree in our lives.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead,
David. I am a firm believer that blondes have more fun. Now, I know you're on my team with this, so I need to know, what are some of the fun things that you do to amuse yourself on the set?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna.
You're a dirty blonde.
I thought she was gonna be like, you know, you've gone back and forth between having blonde hair and streak. You know, I thought you were gonna make fun of me on
like
that.
Half blonde for a while.
Yeah, I had a skunk hair. I had skunk hair.
Okay, yeah. We all did. It's okay.
It was so in style. No one thought of it that way.
What are some of the fun things I like to do on set? Was that your question?
Yes. How do you amuse yourself?
I probably, you know, this is probably one of my biggest faults, I guess, in life, is that I'm a very serious person when it comes to work and work ethic. And so, like, maybe I don't have as much fun as I should on set.
Because
I'm just focused on doing I'm just focused on doing the job.
Wow.
And so, it's not that I didn't have fun and enjoy people's
practical jokes and stuff like that. And it's not that I didn't chime in on them, but, you know, I just really enjoy working on set and as an actor. And so I was just always focused in that sense. So it's not that I don't have fun and play around, but I like to have fun outside of work.
You know, speaking of fun on the set, right before you came on with us, Karen, James, and I were having a little discussion. Now, are you the one that likes peanut butter and fly sandwiches?
Oh, yeah, I love them. They're my favorite.
I thought David and Frank did that to Steve. I didn't know he did that to you. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah. It's gross, like, when you think about it. And but, you know, I didn't know it was in there, and I ate it. So, whatever.
Oh! Okay,
I mean, you
want to
show... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I just say you watch shows like Survivor and the crap that they have to eat. So, I mean, it's really not that big of a deal.
Right.
Okay. Well, before we get another caller, I've got to know, can you tell us an embarrassing story about Karen? Because she told us some about you. You just didn't know.
I've never told an embarrassing story about him.
I don't know that I have any embarrassing stories about Karen. Karen was a good girl.
I do have
a picture that she would hate if I posted.
Please post.
I sent it to her and she was mortified, but it's like when we went off to do the movie and the original helmets like didn't have mouthpieces, they painted our face silver, like our mouth area silver. And so I have a picture of Karen just sitting there with her silver makeup on, and it just looks ridiculous. And
you can post it. I'm not easily embarrassed.
Yeah, no chance.
David, are you the one that has the photo of her getting sick while they were doing the skydiving?
Remember when I was growing up, when we were on, I was on the, I think it has to be JC Frank, but I was up on
it's
the ropes just- and... Yeah, and I was, like, throwing up in a bucket.
Well, David, I just want to say, if you get your hands on that photo, I'm willing to pay a lot of money.
Me too.
On the throw-up photo, I can arrange that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
But what's
the
one?
I think I'm going to take a call. I'm just joking. Yeah, they want to see me like not so serious. Like they want to catch me, you know. That's why they want an embarrassing moment. I keep telling them, like, you know, I didn't really do much. I was actually pretty boring. If I could do it all over again, that's one thing I probably would do, is probably enjoy that moment more than I did, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, let's take another caller. Hello, Tommy. How are you, Tommy?
Fine.
Hi, you have a question for David?
Yes. What was it like being, okay, in Power Rangers Zeo, when the aging thing happened to him? What was it like? I mean, what was the situation going on of you not being a ranger? Why did the producers decide to not make you a ranger again?
Well, I don't
Ooh,
know.
Ooh, scandal. Scandal.
I don't know that I have the answer for that, honestly, other than, you know, I know that the creator, Haim Saban, always liked the idea of, like, what they do in Japan, and that's always switching the cast every year,
mm-hmm.
and which he does do now. But, you know, I think it kind of led itself to that, and yes, I was getting older and all that kind of stuff, so I'm sure maybe that played a part into it as well. But I honestly don't have the answer as to why they didn't continue my character on as a Power Ranger in Zeo. That would be something to ask them, not me.
Yeah.
I just was there to say my lines and get my mark.
That's right.
You know, and
wow.
When we've talked about it with Karen, like when they switched the three people out,
yes.
what was going on behind the scenes? Like, was it chaotic? Was there fighting? How bad really was it?
I don't think it was chaotic, and I don't remember. There was no fighting. It was just like three actors stood their ground for what they believed they should get, and the production company didn't agree, and they were just released to their contracts. And, I mean, it was never crazy or chaotic. It was just like one day they were there and one day they weren't there. And then we shut down production, so to speak, and we did a casting search for three new people, and the three new ones came in. But I don't – there was never any craziness. It was
like,
they all
weren't like,
level.
Who are these new bitches? Like, you know.
David was actually so super nice. I remember our first day on set, we had a wardrobe fitting, and he came up to the set because he heard we were going to be there just to meet us, like one-on-one, like without everybody around, and he was so super nice. That's what I remember.
Well, I'm glad you remember that.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Because that was the one and only time I was ever nice. Otherwise, I was a total bitch.
Right, and he was like, these bitches.
I knew it.
If you wanted to be nice, you could do a new version of Temptation Island, and it could be me and all of the straight male rangers on one island.
Oh, God.
Temptation Island. Ranger Slayer
right,
edition.
Ranger Slayer edition. Yeah. I think it's time to take another call.
It could be a gold mine on Nickelodeon.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Nate, how are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great, guys. My question is for Dave. How you doing, by the way? And,
I'm good. Thank you, Nate.
And also, I was wondering, how did it feel to play a bully in the episode of Ranger Punk? Punk Ranger on season one, when you and Kimberly became under some sort of spell, where you guys turned like bad, like rebels and stuff. How did it feel to transition to that character? And also, I was wondering if you could give a shout out to Morphin Legacy Tiny Chat. They're watching right now, so I was wondering if you could do that as well.
Okay. Well, first part, it was obviously it's fun, obviously. I mean, they did this a lot with Amy Jo and I in the first season. It seemed like they let our characters kind of be different things. And so, obviously, it's fun to be something different than just intellectual Billy that nobody understands. So it was fun to break character and to be kind of mean and be kind of a jerk and get to beat up Bulk. I don't know if that was that. I'm pretty sure it was in that episode. Like, I kind of pushed Bulk around a little bit. So, yeah, it's fun to do that. And I'm going to – did you guys put him on mute? Because I didn't catch the full name.
Oh,
of,
yeah. You know what? I can grab him back. Hey, Nate. Who is the shout-out to?
It's to this chat page that's listening right now. It's called Morphin Legacy's Tiny Chat. And I want to see if you can give a shout-out to them right now.
Sure. So, hey, Morphin Legacy. Here's a shout-out, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Uncensored Radio, and I hope you're enjoying your time, and thank you for listening, I guess.
Yeah, you say shout-out makes me giggle.
Because I got my street cred. I'm shouting
out. Okay, all right. Yeah.
I love it. He said, shout out. You know,
Karen's giving him street cred.
I have given him street cred. I've told him how to, you know, I've taught him a lot of words. David knows how to dance. David, you want me to tell him how to dance you do with the broom?
What? Karen taught me all kinds of stuff. She hooked me up.
So we should have him come be our dance instructor on Uncensored Reality? Is that what you're
Absolutely.
Telling me?
Absolutely.
Okay, so before we go on any farther and we take any more questions, I'm going to do a little surprise for everybody right now. So I'm walking into a house, and I'm going to have somebody else give a little shout-out to everybody.
Oh, nice.
Fine. Let's see here. Where's Amy Jo? Hey, Amy Jo, say hi.
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 How are you, Amy? I'm saying my name. No, I'm just kidding. Hi.
How's it going, girl? I haven't talked to you in forever. Yeah.
Hey, Karen.
How's it going?
Hang on, I can't hear you. Hi, Karen.
It's okay.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You don't even understand. The fans are probably going berserk. We've got so many people listening. yeah, you have to come on one day. How are you?
I know
you're a mom now, and how's life?
Life is fantastic. How's your life?
It's great. We have to catch up.
Oh, my God. We had so much fun in Australia, me and you.
We did. We used to go get our tarot cards read all the time. We had so much fun. Like, we made friends, and we were just all over that city. Wow.
Okay, David just wanted me to say hi. All right.
Yeah, well,
you know what?
Yes, thank you for
tell me
saying
how to
hello.
Get in touch with you. I want to talk to you and hang out with you.
Absolutely. Are you back in L.A.?
No. Oh, well, for 4 days. And then I'm going back home.
Okay, well, when you're back, let me know, and we'll do it.
Okay, here's
Bye.
David. Bye.
Agent. Ouch. She hit me on the app.
I hope everybody's surprised that we got to talk to Amy Jo Johnson, too. So exciting.
I know.
That was so
very
sweet.
You don't understand. The fans are going bonkers in the chat room. They are going bonkers. So thank you,
I was
David.
Totally trying to pull that surprise on you two, trying to hunt this girl down, finding who she really is on, like, Facebook and Twitter, trying to surprise you two, and you did it to us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so we only have about 13 minutes left. I want to take as many callers as possible because I know they're dying to ask you questions. So we're going to speed through these calls. Okay, David?
Sounds great.
Let's see. We have got Brandon on the line. Brandon, you have a question for David?
Am I boogieing with the bear?
Yeah, you are, baby.
That's right. All right.
You got a question for David?
Can I ask two?
You can ask
one. Make them quick,
We got like 24 callers waiting.
Okay. So, David, I got to say, what was the process like for you kind of developing the character of Billy? Because, like, at the beginning, it's like, you know, he was, like, the nerdy guy, but then he got more more casual, more popular, kind of more a leader type. You know, how did you as an actor kind of put that forward? Like, you know, how was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted Billy to progress as a human being and I just think, you know, I just wanted to switch him up every chance I got a little bit just to help him grow so that he wasn't just such a narrow, one-dimensional character. And so, you know, he's always going to be intelligent and he's always going to be smart. And, you know, but it doesn't mean that he can't have other interests like being more physical and being more challenged in other ways. And having, I think he had like 8 or 9 girlfriends, so he was pretty crazy. But I just really, as an actor, enjoyed playing him and enjoyed getting to go on the ride with him to see where he ended up. So, you know, I did have some influence on that, but it was also the writers and the producers as well.
Right. Okay, so we have another caller on the line. His name is Jeremy. Hold on if I get Jeremy on. Hey, Jeremy, you have a question for David?
Hi, Karen.
How are you?
Good.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, David, I was at MorphCon. It was a pleasure to meet you. I know no one really talks about the movie suits that often, so how were they, and what, besides being in the movie, what's your favorite movies?
The movie suits were extremely heavy, but they were, I thought, kick-ass. I thought they looked really cool.
Awesome.
So, I mean, that was great. But, yeah, they were really a pain to put on and to wear and all that kind of stuff. And the second question is, what is my favorite movie? Is that what it was?
Yeah. What's your favorite movie?
Well, I have a lot, but the one – this is really going to make me sound like a gay guy. But the one that I like the most is a movie called Terms of Endearment. And I can watch that movie how many times, and I cry every time.
Oh, I love it. That's a great movie, though. That's a classic. Okay, we've got Adam on the line. Adam, what is your question for Dave Diaz?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Hello?
Oh, hi, David. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Albert. My question is, in the movie, how to feel the change suits, like from like nylon spandex to like plastic.
I thought it was great because it's so embarrassing to wear spandex because I have like really skinny chicken legs. And so, like, when we got to wear the movie suits, it made it look like I had really muscular legs, and it was so much better. So thank you for that question.
Yeah, I agree. Spandex is, like, very, like, it's like walking around in your underwear. Like, it just was not cool.
Y'all look fine to me, okay? I just laughed at y'all look fine.
Yeah, you get like, self-conscious, I guess, you know. But we have another call. Hello, Nicholas.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You have a question for David Yost?
Yes.
What is that?
I know there must have been, like, a lot of fun times on set, but, like, what were, like, your least favorite times on set? Like, what stuff did you, like, hate doing?
Good question.
What stuff did I hate doing? I hated doing voiceovers. When we'd have to go into a booth and, like, when you see us in costume and we're fighting, we'd have to go in there and go, and make those kind of noises. I don't know. I was very self-conscious doing that. And, I shouldn't say I hated it. It was obviously part of the job, but I don't know. I just liked being on set and being around the cameras and all that kind of stuff. I enjoyed that a lot more than going into a booth and doing voiceovers.
Right. So I have a question. What's on your iPod right now? Like, what do you like listening to?
I was looking at that the other day, and I really I like a lot of Rihanna, and I question that. And
why do you question it? You're funny, man.
And, like, I'm not going to say people's names right, but is it Tao Cruz or something like that? How do you say his name?
Tao Cruz.
And Tao Cruz and Usher. And I don't know. I just have such – I was like, wow, I really like some weird music.
R&B?
It's not weird. It's
music.
But I like it.
It's party music.
I like all the remix versions of their songs. So it's, like, more dancey type stuff.
Housey.
Like club
stuff.
Housey, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, who knew? Well,
I
have fun with you.
Yeah, right. You know, I got my street cred, girl.
No, David is high on the list with street cred. Man, this is awesome. You know, we got another call. Jennifer Richard, how are you, Jennifer?
I'm good, Karen. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Do you have a question for David?
Yes, I do.
What
David, how did you get started in the whole Power Ranger routine?
The routine as far as the TV show?
I think she's talking maybe the choreography. Is that what you're talking about, Jennifer, the choreography? Or, like, what do you mean?
Basically, like, all the moves and stuff.
Oh, the choreography.
Well, we work with a stunt coordinator and our stunt people, and, they choreograph a fight sequence for us. And we just learn the moves, and we go through it, and we film it on camera. It's very stylized and very safe, and, you know, things look like we're hitting each other, but we really aren't hitting each other. It's all done with camera angles and cheating things.
Right, we try not to hit each other.
Has Steve ever tried to choke you and teach you how to get out of that?
Steve? No. I mean, Jason Frank for sure. But Steve, I would have kicked Steve's ass.
I don't know, David. He was tough. He had his hands around my throat. I was afraid for my life.
No,
you know what we did, David? on the reality show, we took a class with Steve, one of his jiu-jitsu classes, and he showed us how to get out of a chokehold.
And then they put my fat ass in yoga. It was like hell on earth.
Yoga is awesome.
I passed out. I just collapsed.
And you know Steve's girlfriend, she was like, we were like, it looked like somebody walked in and threw a bucket of water on each one of us. Like, we were dying. And the yoga class was only like 10 minutes long. It was a riot. It was a riot. Like, there is no reason why it should have been so difficult for all of us.
And let me clarify, so people don't think, like, I'm bagging on Steve. Steve lives 2 blocks away from me. We're extremely good friends, and I think he's an amazing teacher. He is. I've taken classes with him, and he would sure kick my ass if it really came down to it.
So. You and your street cred, my money's on you now. is on you. Okay, so we only have 4 minutes before the show ends. Scott, you're on the line. You have a question for David?
Yeah, hi, David. I was wondering if you've ever realized that it's been art imitating life as far as, you starting in front of the camera and then moving behind the scenes by working with Adult Swim and stuff, like how Billy was on the battlefield as the Blue Mighty Morphin Ranger and then moved to the command center for Zeo.
I haven't honestly thought about it in that term, but I can see what you're going for, and I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
So thank you for pointing that out to me.
I know, right? Who thought of that? I never even thought. Okay, Kevin, how are you, Kevin? You're on the line with David Yost. Do you have a question?
Yes. Sadly, in 2001, we lost the original Yellow Ranger. So I was hoping you could honor her memory by sharing with us some of your best memories of the late Tweet Rang.
Aww.
Great question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Tweet was just so beautiful in real life. I mean, she's beautiful on screen, but when you saw her in person, she was just stunning. And she had an amazing laugh, and I enjoyed working with her greatly. She was a lot of fun. So I have a picture of her. She's always doing her hair. So I have a picture of her, like, spraying hairspray in her hair, and I see that picture all the time when I go through my some of my Power Rangers stuff, and it just makes me laugh because she's always doing her hair.
Aw. Well, David, yeah. I thank you. That is a great way to end the interview. I thank you for coming on. Thank you for surprising us with Amy Jo. I know the fans are even more in love with you for doing that for them. Over the, you know, course of, gosh, it's been since 95 that we met, and you have always been such a great friend to me. And now, you know, that I'm getting into producing and you've been even even more better friend. You've been, you know, giving me pep talks. You've always stayed positive. And I just really appreciate you being in my life. And I'm so glad you were able to come on Uncensored Radio.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on, and it's been a pleasure, and, you know, I would love to come back some other time and talk more. And thank you to all of the fans out there. Yeah, and thanks to everybody that's listening and that is going to be listening in the future, I guess, but thanks for being in the chat room and talking and asking me questions. I greatly appreciate it, and, you know, you can message me on Facebook or on Twitter, and I'll try to answer as quickly as possible.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you, David.
Have a great night.
You guys, too. I'm going to go eat dinner with Amy Jo now.
All right.
Have fun.
Give her a hug. Give her a big hug for me.
I will.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, 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 it's another Monday evening, and that's right, you guys have turned into Uncensored Radio's Chick Chat. And, of course, the girls are here to join me. Stephanie, Toya, how are you ladies doing?
Good. How are you, Daisy?
Hi. Great. Fabulous, fabulous. So, give me the information. I know you all did something this weekend. You had to have done something.
Okay, I have the best weekend ever because I've always, it's on the bucket list. I've always wanted to ride on a fire truck, like going to a fire to put it out the whole nine and all that. And I did that. Like,
that's
it was
true.
The best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know why I was in there with my high heels and everything because it was, like, totally impromptu, wasn't planned. Man, amazing. I highly recommend that everybody try it. At least okay.
So wait, how did you get to go on this extinguishing fire hunt?
Well, I actually know. I recently met a fireman, and why are they all so hot? Like, you know, I know there's a myth about that, but they are fine. Oh my God! So I've recently become friends with one, and I was just like in the area and stop by to just say, hey, what's up, you know, because I was literally across the street. And the whole announcement thing went off, and he's like, you want to roll? I'm like, yeah, you know. So next thing I know, I'm about to go to the scene of a fire, like the best thing ever. I mean, I don't care. Like, hands down, next to Madison Square Garden, there's a fire truck. That's my life. Love it.
You know what? I am going to agree with you. Most firemen are freaking hot. I don't know what it is. And EMT.
I got to pay them more attention. But you know what? Probably because they're all the same kind of – I think they work hand in hand. So that does make sense. That does make a lot of sense.
Do you think it's men in uniform?
No, I don't. Because I don't feel that way about police officers. Sorry. I mean, every now and then you see one that's like – you know, attractive, but it's not where firemen, you know, they show up and it's like, you know, six people and at least five of them are hot.
You're trying to have them put your fire out.
What'd you say?
Trying to have them put your fire out.
Hey, keep it going. Like, burn it down. Like, they look good. And, you know, when I went in, I saw, like, they all have workout equipment, like, right there. So maybe that's what they do. I mean, waiting around on fires, you just work out. I don't know. I just know they look great, and every time
you came there with your high heels and heated it up.
Oh man, you know, I mean, you gotta look cute when you just show up to somebody's place of business and he's hot and he's a fireman. So I'm like,
did you slide down the pole?
No, man. You know, that's what I really wanted to do. That's the only thing that would have made it better. But you know, hey, take what I can. I probably would have broken something. Oh, and then they would have.
That would have been a hell of an entrance. I just thought I'd stop in.
Right
next to my work, there's like, you know, because I work where there's like different like buildings, like it's just, you know, business area or district. Well, right across in our same parking lot, but it's the building across, it's the EMT building. So, Of course, once it gets hot, you know, these guys go outside, and during their lunchtime, they're throwing around a football because there's, like, a nice grassy area. And, you know, they know, and they tailgate, so, like, they'll be in their trucks, and they'll start, like, eating, and they'll, like, be taking off their shirts and getting a tan. And it's so funny because you know exactly when the weather changes because all the women in the you know, surrounding buildings, they start coming outside to eat their lunch. And you're just like, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. You know exactly what you're doing here. Don't tell me you wanted to come out here for the night and lunch. You need no vitamin D.
Right. Oh, my God. And one of the firemen even sang to me. He's like, you're a singer? Oh, my God, you have an album out? Well, maybe we can do a duet. I'm like, maybe. Show me what you got. And he starts singing this, actually, a Jodeci song, but in a country style. I don't even remember what he said because it was awesome.
Oh, Lord, you were in heaven.
I was in heaven.
Did your knees start keeping away? Like,
let me tell you something. I thought they were going to put me off the truck. I acted a fool. best thing ever happened to me, hands down. Fire truck
ride. I don't believe you.
Do it, ladies. Just love it.
Okay, so apparently a fire truck is a panty dropper.
It is. Big time.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying I just wanted clarification. You know.
I mean, and you know, I was in a building probably a year ago, and the owner wasn't there, and something, the silent alarm was going off, and so he called me because he had seen me come in when he was going out, and he said, well, I already know the fire company is going to show up. If they show up, just go down and let them in. So, you know, a couple hours passed and nothing happened. So I get undressed and, you know, start looking like we really do when we go to bed, and especially when we're alone. And they show up. I come down there looking like sweet brown, you know, a mess. And, of course, they're all hotties. Like, I know it's 3 a.m, but I really wanted to have hair and makeup, like, ready. Because they were so hot. And they're looking at me like, oh, hi. You know, oh. Horrible. So you got to be ready when the fire happens. Just do your makeup when you run outside and grab your makeup bag, because you want to look good, because you just might get a date. I'm just saying, you got to be prepared. That's my advice to the people.
So you got to ride on a fire truck. You got two firemen fawning over you. You busted out the heels. You had the makeup. You had the hair going. So you know what you're. It's pretty much set. If it doesn't work out with the one guy, I'm sure you can date another one. Well, why not? You already know what you look like. You've already ridden on the truck.
I've ridden on the truck. You know. Put it on your list, ladies. The grocery store is not where the men are. They're at the fire station.
That is for damn sure. Because I'm telling you, those EMTs, when they start playing football, I'm like, good God, how many muscles can one body possibly have?
Well, listen, I'm going to need some pictures sent over here to New York, because it's cold and snowing here right now.
Oh, no, it's nice right now. So they're outside, they're having lunch, like, yeah, it's funny, because you look at all the women that are all of a sudden outside having lunch, and you're like, bitch. You know why you're outside. You should be ashamed.
But that's the only thing I regret. I was so excited, and it happened so fast that I left my phone in my car. So I would have been snapping pictures. I don't even know if that would have been allowed, but I still would have been doing it, and I totally would have emailed you pictures. That's the only thing. I have no proof that this occurred, but I know in my heart that the fireman and I, we bonded. I mean, we did. We did. Wonderful.
Wait a minute. I got to ask, did they have a Dalmatian that went with them?
No Dalmatian, but that was cool with me because I had on my heels. I didn't feel like dealing with a dog, so that worked out. But everything else you possibly imagined was in place. Even like, you know, on how you see their like boots in front of the car, and they just like step in them and pull up those suspenders or whatever the hell they are, and they get on the truck and everything's fast, and there's a big siren and everybody's moving out of the way. I mean, it was so much high drama. All I needed was music. And it would have been perfect. Oh, wait, I had music because he sang for me. Oh, I take that back. It was perfect.
I could just
imagine. Well, that's a good thing that we're going to be talking about relationships today.
Hey, you know what? You know what? If Toya has a relationship with the fireman, we will all live vicariously through her. Okay? That's what I'm saying.
True.
And you know what? And it's a good point that Toya brought up that, you know, policemen just don't quite do it. And I think the firemen, and you know why? Because I think that they really have to stay in shape in order to carry, you know, those big heavy hoses and do all that stuff. So they tend to be more in shape, a little bit more rugged,
yeah,
a little bit more.
Yeah, they have to be. You're right. Because I tried to pick up one of those things and drop it and was like, oh, I dropped it. Can you help me? You know, a total damsel. It really was heavy, but I dropped it on purpose. I just wanted him to bend down and pick it up.
Well, I think we're probably not attracted to cops because they can take us to jail.
Well, and then also they get too much information on you. Firemen don't have access to. I mean, a police guy can just type in stuff and find out all. You know, I don't. They creep me out. I mean, I love that they're around. I endorse the services of the police departments all over the United States. But I don't think I could date one. Because if they, I don't know, you just hear about stuff and they, if they do stuff, like, who's going to arrest them? It's their buddy who got the call. I don't know. It just, I think I would, that would freak me out a little bit. Like, what they can and can't do. The firemen just get an address, go put out the damn fire. That's what we do. The other guy, I don't know. Well, I know your aunt lives over here and you were over there. And what were you doing there? And your license plate said, what? Yeah, it would creep me out.
See, that's what I don't like, that, you know, there's certain government and state agencies that have certain limitations where they have a check and balance system. And I understand police officers don't have it, but really, like, it should be monitored more. Like, what is the,
yeah,
the business justification of looking this up? Because you know that they do it all the time. And, like,
oh,
for
I'm
me,
sure.
I'd do it
if I could. I mean, I think it's too hard, you know, too much of a temptation not to, but I still don't think you should be able to. I mean, Google is bad enough, let alone
yeah,
you get the real deal. All you need is my license plate number or my phone number, and you know my story. I don't like it.
Yeah.
No,
I
and
agree.
It's funny because, you know, I do work for a state agency, and I do have access to everything, you know, whether it's Franchise Tax Board or IRS or DMV.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, we have, like, people monitoring us and making sure that they have business uses. Like, and that's
right.
What needs to happen with the police department, because I honestly, like, you know, you hear these stories. What was that story that guy... He was a police officer. He thought a girl was cute. He had her license plate, and then he ended up, like, following her home to ask her out. You know, it's shit like
that's
that.
That's not chivalrous to me, dog. That's just creepy. Like, I know he probably thought she should be flattered. That's just creepy.
What are
you
doing
in my
creepy.
House?
It is creepy.
You know,
but
seriously.
And it's like you also have to think about, you know, cops that are psycho. You know, sometimes, like, look at that guy that was eating those people, that one police officer in New York. And then he was like...
I didn't hear about that.
Why are we laughing, Stephanie? That's the question.
Because I'm in New York.
Why is
what?
Funny? It's not funny. Yeah. Again, Tic Tac, we support police officers. Please don't put that out there. But we're just saying we have heard of instances where there have been abuses of power that would kind of creep us out if we were dating you, because we don't know which one you are yet, you know?
That kind of goes hand in hand with military men.
Yeah. Well, with them, I'm just scared of, like, I mean, are you okay from the war? Like, are you good?
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have a flashback? Are you going to shoot me in the face when I'm sleeping?
Are you going to wake up next to me and then, like, have me strangled in the bed? Like, hi.
No,
the military, we think they do an amazing, wonderful job. We are not bashing in any way. Sleep in the bed at night after the war, we don't know. That's all.
Well, PTSD is a serious problem.
It is.
And I'm gonna actually share a story, because one of our co-hosts on Uncensored Radio has a friend who actually suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, and he was in the war, and he actually, and it's really sad, and I feel really bad for him, and he's a very good person. Like, he's just a really nice guy. It was unfortunate, but he had an episode, and he thought that his wife was breaking in, and he actually did shoot her, and she did pass away. Yeah, it's so sad. Like, it's horrible, and it happens all the time. So definitely, like, especially with those people who need the help, like, give them the proper channels to get that help. So we absolutely support our military, our armed forces, our police officers, and definitely our firefighters. That's just what I'm saying. So let's keep it rolling. So, women, I know that we were talking about Facebook, we were talking about hashtags and thumbs down. And I know Toya was talking about definitely needing thumbs down. Tell the listeners why you believe
that. Well, before you move on from PTSD, though, there was also Chris Kyle, who was an amazing war hero. He lived in Dallas, Texas, and he was that guy who was always trying to help just anybody. He wrote a book. It was a bestseller. It did really well, and he would try to help people who had been in the service and all that. And he and two other friends were at a gun range, and one of their fellow veterans had been having problems with PTSD, and he actually killed Chris. I mean, it was a big deal. It was all over the media. I mean, I think so many government officials and all this were at his funeral because he really was a great guy, war hero and all that. So I agree. It really is a huge problem, and I hope that there are even more things in place after. It's a shame it had to come to something like that, but I hope they're doing even more to make sure that people who are experiencing that problem get the help they need. So just all jokes aside, it really is a serious problem.
Yes.
On the face now. Yeah, I just want to throw that out because it was a big deal. I know a lot of people out there know exactly what I'm talking about. But you were saying?
Well, I can share my experience of PTSD as well. I was married. I'm divorced. But my ex-husband was in the Marines. And when I wanted to get the divorce, he walked out of the house with a loaded gun and told me that I could cash out his life insurance policy in the morning. And he ended up spending a week in a mental hospital at the Veterans Hospital. It's sad. Obviously, he's okay now, but it was just a difficult thing for me and my children to have to live under those kind of conditions of alcohol, drugs, you name it. He turned to it, and he just ended up losing his mind.
I mean, and I'm not in any way an expert on what all is offered to veterans and all that when they come back, but I just feel like all the stuff that they give up, including mental health to go to protect this country, when they come back, there should be nothing that they need that they can't get access to. I mean,
I agree.
They should come back with full scholarships, full-time jobs, this, that. I mean, all that stuff should just be done. It just should just be a matter of what do you need, you know? And I know they have a lot of services now, but I think it could even be more than what it is.
I agree with that.
I do want to say, and, it goes to show you, each one of us has a story of someone that was affected, of someone that, was a very, very good person, and they have these issues coming back from the war. And a lot of people don't know, especially veterans, they don't know all the services that are out there. And I urge everybody, being a state employee, if you call 211 anywhere in the United States, 211 is the number that they give out, and it will give you 24-hour service for anything you may need. So whether
I didn't even know that.
Yes, 211. You give it to anybody. I've used it to get homeless people beds. Sometimes I had a situation where I was actually on a field call, and I saw a girl that was homeless, and you could tell that she was beaten very, very badly. And I asked her, I said, do you have somewhere to stay? And she said, no. And I said, do you want me to get you a bed? And she said, where? She was asking a lot of questions. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know why I was being so nice to her. So I did call 211. I was able to locate a bed for her, and she actually had a dog with her. And she said, well, I'm not going to leave my dog. So I called again, and I said, can she bring a pet? And they actually were able to put her in a place that actually did accommodate an animal. So, whether you're a veteran, whether someone is a victim of domestic abuse, whether someone is homeless and needs help, you call 211. It's 24 hours, and they will help you with everything. Everything.
So man, that's great to know. I've never even heard that before. It's really good information.
Absolutely. If somebody in the chat room wants to go ahead and post a link, it's 211, and that's wherever you are in the United States, and they will get you the help that you guys need. So it is a pretty good idea to have out there. And absolutely. And especially for veterans, I know we were talking about veterans. There are veterans offices. They do have representatives there to help you, and they'll be like your caseworkers, whether you need a home, whether you need a job, whether you need recertification and some type of a training, whether it's just general service, like any type of general aid, food, anything. they will be able to help you there. So I can't urge people enough to go ahead and take advantage of those services. I mean, we pay taxes.
And this is a national number?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't know. I mean, that's great. Thanks for putting that out there, for sure.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I can't stress it enough. And I hate to segue, but we're going to segue right now. I know that, Toya, you were talking about Facebook, and I know that Stephanie was talking about hashtags. So what's going on with Facebook? Enlighten me.
Well, I know I saw on the news feed, I saw on Stephanie's page that she wished that Facebook had a two thumbs down button. And I actually sent her a text message after about that. Because, you know, I know a lot of people sometimes feel that way. But, you know, I was talking to you, Daisy, about that. And I was saying, well, but, you know, they're being polite. Because I know that YouTube has a thumbs down. But the thing is, you never know who thumbs down your video. Or whatever it
right.
is. But Facebook, if I thumbs down, you know, it's kind of like Facebook is like, that's just not polite, and it could start some kind of back and forth war. I have no doubt, because she's right. Like, sometimes in the news feed can give you a headache. It's like, really? You know,
well, sometimes people get all in their feelings and stuff, and they'll be like,
yeah,
I'm deleting my Facebook.
Diary. Some people, you can tell when they're upset with their man because that's on there. You can tell when they're happy with them. I mean, it's like back and forth nonsense. And I'm like, now how is this social networking? I'm confused.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I don't mean it to – I don't want a thumbs down because I want to be rude to people. But, like, sometimes, you know, sometimes people post stuff that you don't like, and it's almost rude if
right.
you like it. Like, my mom is in the hospital. You like that? No. I need
right.
a thumbs down button.
Like, and that's so inappropriate. And they'll put – and a lot of people put likes like me. I mean, I wouldn't put it to that, but I do find myself liking things where I really want to comment. But I don't want my phone to blow up every time somebody else comments after me.
Yeah, but you can just get rid of those notifications now, which is nice. You can just click on it and say stop.
I'm like, I don't care that 10 people I don't know commented after I comment. I mean, you know, it's just sometimes that news feed goes crazy. I mean, one of my good friends actually addressed it on his page. He kind of just went down the line. I got this friend claiming that he's a pimp, and he's like 55 with 8 kids, and I got this person pretending to give spiritual quotes, and I saw her at the club last night, and it really showed me. Like, he's kind of like killed it. I mean, this is a person who would love the dislike button. Why did you post that day, Stephanie?
Just because. I think I was just seeing something, and I don't exactly remember the exact reason, but like, it was just like I was going through my news feed, and it was like, bad news. So I was just like, this just sucks. We really need a thumbs down button. But I did see, after doing a little homework, that will never be possible. There is only one man in charge of Facebook who, like, if something's been flagged so many times, if it's really inappropriate contact, I guess he has the one official thumbs down button, and then it gets removed. But other than that,
there's
nobody else.
One man in all of with all the Facebook profiles. We got one guy on the job. What is that?
One guy. Nobody else will ever have a thumbs down button. And
one
I think that you're right. It has to do with being rude.
One department or one man. Like, clarify.
One man. One man. It comes down to one man.
Is it Tom from Facebook?
It's not Tom from Facebook.
Really? Because I really love his thumbs up and head over look at you like, hi guys.
What happened to Tom?
Sorry.
But you know, they're also talking about introducing hashtags to Facebook. And I think that's so stupid, because what is the point? I mean, I understand it's great for Twitter. You can follow a trend or whatever is trending at that time or any topic that you want to like look up. But that's Twitter. Facebook and Twitter
right.
aren't the same thing.
Well, but, I mean, they figure they can get more people. I mean, it's all about expanding the brand. So I guess they figure if we had that too, maybe more Twitter. Because, I mean, there are definitely my Twitter friends and my Facebook friends are two different groups. Most of my Facebook friends don't even have Twitter. So it's like, I guess maybe they're figuring they're tapping into another market. Like, well, maybe these people will come over to Facebook if we kind of set it up to run, you know, in some ways as similar to Twitter. So I get it. They're just trying to keep that money flowing.
Facebook for me is like my family and friends. I share my I share my intimate details, photos of my children, you know. Twitter, no, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking
so
about smoking. I'm talking about smoking weed and drinking and stuff my mom and dad don't need to see.
So ridiculously public and so ridiculously archived that you have, I mean, you know, and then like I said, like most of those people, I don't know them. Those people are fans of my music or stuff like that. So, yeah, it's totally different market. So I think, but people already kind of use hashtags on Facebook anyway. I know they don't mean anything as far as being able to search, you know, trends and all that, but people are kind of incorporating it now.
Yeah, exactly. I do it all the time. I'm a victim of it. I'm just so used to doing it that when I don't have mine carry over, like I don't, what I tweet doesn't go on Facebook, obviously.
Right.
But I still use hashtags on Facebook.
But isn't it so much easier? And I think maybe, Toya, you might agree with this, but like when you're so busy and you have like to basically give information on like five different social media outlets, isn't it just best to do one message and it hits all five of them so you don't have to worry
about
it?
Well, and they do. I mean, I'm on stuff that I don't even know what it is because I didn't put myself on it, you know. Managers and stuff like that put me on it. And they do have it where when I post one thing, it can go to, you know, more than one site. I have had to adjust that in some ways because there are certain things I put on Facebook that I don't want on Twitter and vice versa. So, you know, I've had to adjust it where my two public pages coincide or this and that. But, yeah, I mean, it was too much trying to keep up with all that. I can barely keep up with one, let alone, I mean, it's like four or five. I know Katrina goes hard on all of them. Like, I admire her.
Yeah.
But I can't do it. I just can't. It's just that in itself is a full-time job. I didn't even know because, you know, with my all the stuff that I had going on, my manager, they found interns and stuff to work for me. And, you know, a lot of the resumes, they're majoring in social media something. I'm like, that's a major now? I have no idea. I mean, these people know what they're doing. I mean, to get the job, they kind of have to do this whole, you know, tell me what they would do as far as a social media campaign for me and this and that. And I was like, what? I didn't even know it was that dynamic. I just didn't know. But I will say it works because those are the people when I get my reports of who's buying my music and where, and I'm like, I've never even been there. Usually those people are friends of mine on Twitter, Facebook, you know, whatever, that I didn't even know. So, I mean, it is a thing, and I guess it really does work, which is why they incorporated it into, you know, college curriculum. So I ain't mad at you. Do it, because I can't.
The only thing you would say is, you know, for people out there, I don't know about you girls, but take off, especially on Twitter where it's public and everybody can see it, take off, like, showing, like, maps of, you know, especially, like, if you're, like, I'm home and it shows a map of where you are, like.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't do any of that location stuff. I don't do location. And don't ever try to check me in anywhere, ladies, because I will ignore every single one of them.
I check in when I'm leaving.
Don't check in. If you tag me on the check-in, trust me, I will never accept the tag. I don't ever need anybody. No, I cut off. I mean, even on your photos, you have to turn that off too because apparently, I know I saw this on the news a while back where people have that on pictures and people were finding people with that, like, you know, child molesters, this, that, or whatever, were finding kids and all that because they have that because they're posting pictures from their phones. And there's a time, there's a location stamp on it unless you turn it off. So, yeah, you got to turn all that stuff off.
And here's the thing, too. You got to see what these people are posting. You know, some people are like, oh, you know, I need another roommate. I'm all alone now. I can't pay for the rent. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, you know, I'm off to work now. Like, people know that you're off to work. You live alone.
Mm-hmm.
So what about if they're going to go to your house and try to take all your shit?
Well, I mean,
I even tell kids, don't put your high school, don't put stuff where it would be so easy for me to find you because you put this thing, you know, especially as an unassuming child and you're not even paying attention, but you got, I'm in fifth period, this class at this school at this time. I mean, that's just a little too much information.
Yeah.
It's just a little too much.
Well, you're talking about Facebook. I actually have a situation that I want to give you gals of what happened to me over the weekend, which I think is great. However, we actually have a guest, and she goes by the name of Slim Fatty. She has an ebook on Amazon about relationships. She has written a relationship guide called Dating Guide for Single Women. There's tons of great stuff on there. Some stuff you just kind of go, damn, this is just real. If you guys haven't checked her out at Twitter, check her out. And she's going to come on with us right now. How are you tonight, Slim Fatty?
Fine, and you?
Good, good.
Can you hear me?
You're on the radio with Stephanie Toya and myself, Daisy, and we got tons of questions to ask you.
Okay. What made you start doing this?
Well, after my divorce, I started to question myself. I was like, Steph, what is your problem? Why are you always dating jerks and losers? And then I realized that a lot of the problems that why I was choosing these guys was with myself, my self-esteem, self-worth, self-respect, a lot of things. And at first, like most females, I blame the guys. They're all jerks. They're all pigs, good-for-nothing guys. But then I had to take responsibility myself and to why I was choosing these guys. And once I realized why I was choosing the wrong guys all the time and why I was holding on to jerks, I decided I wanted to help other females in the same situation I was in.
But well, I got to say, you're doing a good job because you just came on my Twitter. I started retweeting. I'm like, this girl keeps it real. Oh, my God. Then I kept seeing them. I'm like, okay, wow. All right, let me check out a YouTube tutorial. Then I'm like, oh, wow. She really goes in, like, no mercy. You just
yeah.
keep it 100% real. Like, it might not be exactly what a young girl wants to hear, but it's the damn truth. Any woman can tell you that you're preaching the truth. And I appreciate that. I applaud that. That's not a lot of people are doing that, but I see that you have, like, a humongous following.
Yes. I think that a lot of people, when I first started Twitter, I saw a lot of the tweets and things that, like, Cole was written to make people feel good and just feel better about themselves, but it wasn't really all the way the truth. It would keep them hoping and holding on to jerks and hoping that things would change. And I just want, like, people to know that sometimes you have to realize that things are not going to change and you just have to move on and you need the truth. Because, like, sometimes I wish that my friends would have told me the truth in the past instead of things that would sugarcoat and make me think that things would change, you know? I think we all need, like, the truth sometimes.
Absolutely.
So give us an example. I mean, give us, like, some of your, drop a little knowledge for, you know, just a couple of fail-safe things. If this is not happening, this is what's what. I mean, give us a little taste.
Well, the main question I get all the time is from females that are friends with benefits. They have a friend with benefits, and they have feelings for the guy, and the guy seems like he's in love with them and that he's their boyfriend, but he's not committing to them, and they want advice on that topic.
Uh-huh.
And my advice is always, you know, if a guy is having sex with you, he's not committing to you, and it's been, like, months, like 6 months or more, and that's the only thing he really wants. He wants the sex, and of course he's going to take you out to movies to, like, treat you like a girlfriend or whatever he can to keep you around for the sex, but you'll notice that he's not going to open up to you emotionally or take you around his family or do any of those things, because obviously he doesn't see you as long term. You're just his miss right now. So my advice is always to move on in that situation. But a lot of females,
you know, that's good too. And a lot of people,
yeah.
Just so many friends. I've had that conversation so many times with friends where they're like, "But he does this, but he does that," you know. But
yeah.
Okay, but what if he? you know, he's talking a good game or whatever. And my thing is always, and you know, I have three brothers and a dad who's there, and a lot of male friends who will tell me the truth. And I mean, trust and believe, I've gotten my feelings shattered a few times too, because as women, we're emotional beings. We can't do that. We can't be out there like that and at some point not form some kind of attachment to a guy. It's just not, we're just different in that way. And they've all said the same thing. What is he doing, though? What is he doing? Like you said, if he's not taking you around that family, if he's not opening up to you emotionally, if he's not telling you, I mean, if, you know, if you're not even sure what your place is with him, if you have to ask all those questions, you already have the answer. And
yeah,
is,
I think women's biggest problem is that they feel a certain way and they can't
right.
let go of, like, how they feel. Never mind
yeah.
the situation isn't bringing them happiness. Never mind it's not what they want out of a relationship. But they can't get past how they feel about that person.
But I love him. How many times have you heard that? But I love him. Yeah, but
yeah.
he doesn't love you, honey.
Well,
I'm
okay,
Most females
will probably know that the guy is not that interested in them, but they think that they can make him fall in love with them. If they prove that they can be his girlfriend or prove that they're good enough for him,
right.
that he will eventually commit to them. So they just hold on to that game. They're obsessed with trying to get him to commit to them and prove that they can be good enough. They're like, what's wrong with me? Why won't he choose me? Why won't he commit to me? They blame themselves, and they hold on to hope that maybe this guy will wake up one day and say, hey, you're the one for me, and I want to marry you. But usually that doesn't happen. But they still hold on to that hope.
But
yeah.
isn't the best advice really, like, actions speak louder than words? Because we all know
well,
we can all
saying.
Fall
that's
for the okie doke.
That's what all the men in my life say. That's what all the men in my life who tell me the truth say. Don't listen to what he's saying. Don't be
Watch
so concerned
what he
with how you feel. What is he doing? What is he doing? Because that'll tell you everything
As,
you need to know.
Yeah, are his actions showing how he's saying? Exactly.
Right.
If it's not, then check out.
Do you have your answer? Yeah. I mean, that's easier said than done. We're not even saying it's not, but... It's
yeah.
the questions, and quite frankly, when we're asking those questions, a lot of times we already know the answer. We just need to find that. We're just trying to find that one friend who will keep us going at that nonsense,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what else? What's like your second question that you get a lot?
Well, with that also, what you said about actions is that a person's their actions and words should match. Usually, someone will say one thing and then they'll do another, and then
do
it's not
another.
Matching, and that. And when that happens, people get confused. They're like, well, he says he loves me, he cares about me, but then he goes out and cheats on me, he does this, he does that. Well, his actions and words are not matching, and that's what's confusing you. So with that, you always have to make sure that actions and words are matching. But if they say one thing, they're doing the same thing that they're saying. If not, then something is going on, they're playing a game, they're leading you on, and they're just playing a game. Just make sure
what's
that
like
actions
the,
and words are always matching.
What's like the stupidest question you've ever gotten, like where you were like, what?
The stupidest question is...
I mean, where you were just like, really? I mean, are you really asking this? And how did you answer it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's all the way stupid, but it's just that so many people, they just really hope that things are not... They just want someone to say, oh, maybe that person does love you. They do love you. And they don't want, no one wants to hear that the person they like and they're interested in doesn't love them or like them. So they'll,
yeah, right.
they'll say, like someone, they said, this person, she ignores me all the time. She ignores my phone calls. She doesn't want to go on dates with me. Am I in the friend zone? Does she like me? And stuff like that. And that's an obvious yes. She's not interested in you, but, you know, and it's simple questions like that people will ask me. But obviously they know the answer to it, but they just hope that someone will say, maybe if you do this or that, you can win her over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so since you're like the social media Dear Abby, like modern day Dear Abby, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to give you a specific scenario. We were talking about Facebook earlier, and I don't know if you heard this, but I actually had this scenario happen this weekend. And I wanted to know specifically, if I were to get your book, what chapter would you recommend for this person to read with this specific scenario. And this is a scenario that happened. My friend's significant other, he left his Facebook page open. Oh, yeah, we all know what that means. So, of course, you know, us as women, we get a little curious. We decide, I think I'm going to snoop. And sometimes we find shit. Now, unfortunately, she did find a lot of shit. Like, he was talking to, like, 12 girls. And at the end of the day, you know, she's like, well, I'm still going to keep him around. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, I can't believe this. But, you know, she's just like, but, you know, he's been so good. And, yeah, he screwed up. But, you know, I cheated on him, too. And he found out and he forgave me. I'm like, okay.
Did he actually see these women?
It seemed that way. I saw the messages, and some of them were pretty hairy. Like, they were really dirty. So I'm assuming.
So he's probably not messing around. Okay.
Yeah, like he's like, yeah, I'm off by 5. Come and swing by and pick me up. And you know, the girls are like, okay, sexy, we'll be there. And you know, like some girl was like, yeah, I'll come down. And she's like, but I don't have a place to stay. And he's like, okay. He's like, you can stay at my place, but you can't wear any clothes. That's the rule. Like,
oh,
come on. Yeah, yeah.
Ouch.
It was that kind of shit. Like, it wasn't simple. And I'm trying to tell her not to be an idiot, but apparently she's not taking my advice. So what chapter in your book would you recommend for her?
I would recommend the cheating chapter.
Okay. So cheating chapter for her.
Yeah, I label them as cheating. I don't know what number chapter it is, but it's labeled as cheating.
Okay. So what would you say is her problem, that she needs to work on her? Or, you know, do you think that she should forgive this guy? I mean, what's your take on guys that cheat?
Well, you also mentioned that she cheated in the relationship also.
Yes, she
said that she cheated, and then he cheated as revenge, or he cheated after she cheated.
Well, I don't know if it was revenge, because how can you really call 12 girls revenge?
Well, I mean, they both cheated in the relationship, so if they were actually going to make it work, they both would need, like, counseling and to work this out, because they both have issues to where they're both going out and cheating outside of the relationship. So it's kind of toxic, to be honest. So
okay.
I wouldn't advise them to even be together because they're cheating on each other and, you know.
Yeah, you shouldn't be in a relationship if you're going to cheat, period.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's perfect, but, like, obviously there's something wrong with you if you cheat too. So just because she's upset and probably going through that with her man right now because he did that, she kind of opened up the door when she did that herself.
But as far as
once you introduce cheating into a relationship, you really can't. There's no more trust.
No.
Yeah.
And that's what I told her. I was like, you can't even get mad at him. I'm like, you did the same shit. And she's like,
but the thing
What?
I said, but the thing is, too, it's 2013 and 12 women. Like, did he even have protected sex with these women? Because that is, like, going to the dangerous side of cheating when you're having a guy and he's cheating on you with 12 women or even more, it might even be more, and then he's putting your health at risk. That's the main reason you should leave a cheater.
Exactly.
I mean, I had that conversation with her. I'm like, you're only looking at his Facebook. You're not even looking at his phone, you know, and he's a social media junkie. So, you know, what's on his Twitter? What's on his Foursquare? What's on Instagram? What's on, you know, there's a million and one outlets. It's like you're just looking at one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I don't understand why some women are just have low self-esteem, which is really surprising because this person is actually quite beautiful, and it's a little sad. So with relationships, and I know that Stephanie and I had talked about somebody. Do you know about the Jodi Arias trial?
No, I don't.
Okay. So Jodi Arias is also, he said that was one of the things keeping him apart. Like, she did basically everything. Like, she was obsessed with him. Now, at what point do you tell women, like, because there are women that are very, very obsessive, very stalkerish. Now, do you tell them to get help for that, or do you just tell them to knock that shit out?
Well, I basically haven't ran into that type yet, thankfully, but if I did, mostly I tell people, look, if he is...
He just basically said there's no possible way, like, within, like, a certain amount of seconds that she took a picture of him in the shower, and then there was another picture, like, 26 seconds later of him being, like, stabbed to death, bloody, on the floor, like, within her foot was in, like, the photo. So they're basically saying, like, there's no way that you, like, shot him and then ran and got a knife and came back in that little bit of time and then stabbed him so many times to take another picture. Asked her, they said, why did you, if you wanted him dead, why didn't you just shoot him again? Why stab him after you already shot him?
Doesn't remember.
She was probably doing it because she was hurt. You know,
I was like, stabbing is like a really personal thing. Like, and so it is done out of anger. Yeah.
It is. It's a big one. And I read the story, and I think that obviously she's crazy. I mean, we can all agree on that. You don't go around killing people because you're fucking normal. Like, that's just because of a relationship.
Right. Clearly.
I mean, clearly, right? And I think that they're talking about the 62 seconds that it took her to kill the body or whatever, because they're trying to establish that it was premeditated. Obviously it was. You can tell, because in 62 seconds, that's the time frame in which the guy was friggin' stabbed and shot.
And why are you taking before and after pictures?
I don't know. She's new.
Here's him before, and here's him after I stabbed him. Like, put that up. But you know what? Not that it's a good case, but it is a case in point that, I mean, nobody's worth life in prison. Nobody's worth the death penalty. Nobody is worth that. I mean, there are so too many men in this world to be doing anything like that for just one. I mean, the best revenge is to keep stepping and leave dude behind. Like, if you have any self-worth at all, and if you just have a little bit, find it, build it up. But nobody, no dude.
And be by yourself. Learn how to love yourself. Learn how to be alone so you don't need anybody else.
Right. Get your stuff together and keep it pushing. Just like he was in the youth, somebody else will be too. I mean, there's so many. I'm sure we can all name a few guys that we would love to mess up. And in our happy places, sometimes we dream of the things we might do to their car or their house or whatever. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of thinking he was that important to me that I'm going to do this and do that. He's not worth it. I'm me, I'm fly, and the next dude will see it if you don't. Keep it pushing. Like, I mean, no dude is worth me going to jail, even getting arrested. Can you imagine me in jail? That just wouldn't be good. I couldn't even last the night. No dude is worth that. I mean, it's just...
But I think when I was younger, I used to power trip, though. I can share a funny story. I had a boyfriend, and, like, we would always meet up, like, late night, you know, whatever, and do what we do. But one night, it was, like, daylight savings time, and he had said, like, oh, you know, grab me some, like, chicken and rice or whatever and come over, let's have dinner, you know. So I, like, go over there, and he's not there. And then I go back, like, later at night. He's still not there. And then he, like, was answering his phone and, like, hanging it up. And then I saw his, like, car pull up in front of the house or whatever. So I'm like, oh, what the hell? So I'm knocking on the door, but I know he's in there, and he's not answering the door. And I don't know if it was my pride, my immaturity, whatever, but I kicked that fucking door clean down. And I swear to God, if there was a bitch in there, I was fucking everybody and everything up in that house. He was like, yo, what are you doing? I'm like, no, what are you fucking doing? There was no girl in the house. I just kicked his door in for no reason.
Okay,
let's get the expert to sum this up. But it ended well. It ended well. He didn't call the cops on me.
And I threw the chicken and rice on him and left and never talked to him again.
Wow.
Is Slim still on the line? Like, what do you say when you want to retaliate? What's your advice? I mean, I know she's definitely, that was her young days, and she's doing something totally different now. But, I mean, what do you say when you get questions about should have won? I mean, I'm sure you do, women thinking they should retaliate and stuff like that. What's your advice?
The best revenge is to move on and let them see you happy. Because have you ever dated someone and then you broke up with them, you were like, okay, who cares? But then you saw them, like, on Facebook or somewhere, happy, smiling in the picture with someone else,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is the best revenge, actually moving on, letting them see you happy with someone else or just happy by yourself, just letting them see you happy and moving on with your life. That's the best revenge. Just being bitter, giving up on love, just giving up on everything and saying, I hate men, I don't trust anybody, I'm not going to give anybody a chance anymore, then they win. So you don't really get revenge that way. And going after them and retaliating, just move on and be happy by yourself or with someone else.
Don't kick in doors and don't throw food on people.
Yeah, in other words. So how do we
don't
find out
them.
More about you? Like, Slim, what's your website, what's your Twitter, what's your Facebook like? How can we stay in touch, and where can we buy your book, too? Like, tell us.
Yeah, let everyone know where to find your book.
Website, everything is Slim Fatty. Website, slimfatty.com, facebook.com/slimfatty.
Spell it out.
S-L-I-M-P-H-A-T-T-Y.
Okay. So slimfatty.com.
Facebook.com/slimfatty
okay.
And Twitter.com/slimfatty.
And your YouTube channel as well?
YouTube is youtube.com/slimfattygirl.
Okay. Ooh. And tell us the name of your book again.
I have Dating Guide for Single Women and Dating Guide for Single Men.
Okay.
And you can get
both
of those on
like
Amazon, right?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Wow.
We want to thank you for your time, for coming on with us, and I'm sure if you're up for it, we'd love to have you come back and dissect some more scenarios and some more relationship advice, and we could possibly get more callers to call in and dish out and make you the Dear Abby of Uncensored Radio. What do you say?
I would love that.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Again, everyone, Slim Fatty. Okay, wonderful. So we got good advice, and basically we all know that crazy bitches, i.e. Stephanie kicking down doors, should
hey,
know.
Hey, I think we've all had one of those moments where we did something. I mean, I didn't do that, but, you know, I think we've all had one of those moments that we realized, like, dude, it's not even worth this. Like, if this had turned out worse, you know, because it could have been, he could have torn that down and three women could have dumped her. Who knows? Like, he wasn't worth that. Although it seemed like Stephanie still got a lot of joy out of it. I don't know.
I did. I'll admit it. I'm 5 feet tall. So, like, just to just kick in that door, like, bah, pop the chain off. It was like a rush. It was like you riding on a fire truck.
Wow.
Oh,
wow. I am loving this right now. Oh, wow. Okay. Seriously, Stephanie, you just made my day. She said it's like riding on the floor, kicking down a door. Goodness gracious.
I mean, they do kick doors down, too, so it's kind of all, you know.
True.
All part.
Wow. Speaking of kicking down doors, I would personally like to kick down some doors and hopefully hit these two people that have next coming up. Obviously, you guys know about the victim in the Ohio rape case. These high school students took advantage of this very, very inebriated 16-year-old girl and took video and took pictures and, of course, the case was over. They've been basically charged with illegal use of a minor and nudity-oriented material, and they're basically going to be in juvenile hall up until they're 21. And, you know, what are your thoughts on it? Should they have gotten harsher time?
Well, I mean, I think they did get as harsh as they could, and also they will have to be registered sex offenders for the rest of their lives. That was kind of surprising to me. So I think it was as harsh as it could be, but I think it also is a testament to how and we've seen this. I mean, think about how many times you've heard stories like this. You've seen it in movies and on TV shows and this and that, because it happens a lot where, you know, a lot of times because athletes or people like them get preferential treatment in certain places, they have this inflated sense of, you know, who they are, and so they think they can get away with everything. They think everything is okay. I mean, they probably weren't first. Hopefully they'll be the last. But I think the bigger issue is, you know, slapping people on the wrist so that they can win a game or this or that. I mean, you know, I think that story has a lot of layers. But I think being registered as a sex offender the rest of your life, I mean, that's going to hinder so much. I mean, their lives are forever changed. It's not like they get out of juvenile and their records are expunged and then that's it. I mean, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, it is. And I can't stress that enough, having my son who's, you know, a great football player and going into this, like, I have to tell him all the time about girls. Like, girls, they want to just have sex with you just because of who you are. And it's true. And it's stupid to think, like, these high schoolers aren't going out to parties and getting drunk in these situations happening. But what there is a problem, and I try to stress to my son a lot, is that don't follow suit. Like, don't screw up your thing. Like, time and time again, you see, like, these big universities and these kids going to school on full scholarships and totally doing stupid shit. Stealing, domestic violence, rape, assault, drug charges. Like, they just take for granted the gift they've been given.
But it's like you said, and this extends to, quote, celebrity, you know, status as well. I mean, my good friend has a radio show as well, and she had Columbus Short on there, and they talked about fame and all this, and he said, you don't understand what it is until you are in that position. And he's like, imagine in a world where you are never told no. He's like, people can't handle that. And so they think they can do anything they want and get away with it because they have gotten away with stuff with so many things that because of who they are, because they're on a freaking show or because they dribble a ball really well or because, you know, so it's like we create these monsters by allowing them to get away with so much because you think because they're famous or athletic or whatever it is that it's okay. And it's not. It's never okay. But,
that's right.
You know, so I think it's more than just on the person who committed the crime. I think society as a whole, I mean, we gotta do better with this whole, you know, just letting people off the hook because of who they are or who we think they are. They're just human like everybody else, period.
Well, sadly, the justice system itself...
Yeah,
the justice system in itself needs like a complete revamp. I mean, when you really take the reality of a situation and, okay, these boys, you know, they raped a young woman. They're going to have to go through this process for the next, you know, not even 10 years of their life, but she's going to have to go through this for the rest of her life. Now, you take into consideration.
I really want to come back to this topic, but we only got about 30 seconds left.
This is your fault. How are you going to introduce this at 9:50? You know, at 55.
How are you going to
this is a whole hour in itself.
It happens, lady. It happens. Please be continued next week, next Monday. We will discuss the tribal. We will discuss football players. We will discuss sexting, sluttiness on social media, and sex on our children.
Go ride with a fireman, people. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Hope you enjoyed the show.